How closely do you listen to the prayers of the Mass, the prayers that are prayed, like the ones the priest prays at the altar from the Missal, the big red book? We hear them many times over, and we respond, often a bit rotely. But do we really listen to them, think about them, pray them? If you do try to do that, it's what we're called to do at every Mass, it's how we actively participate, really, then we'll inevitably come across words or phrases that might confuse us, make us wonder a bit, what does this mean? Well, today, I'd like to draw your attention to one line in one of the prayers at the Mass, and that is one of the Eucharistic prayers. As you may know, if you follow along in the little Missalette booklets during the Mass, there's a few different Eucharistic prayers that the priest may choose from. One of the longest of those Eucharistic prayers, it's the most ancient, it's the first Eucharistic prayer. It's also called the Roman Canon. It lists all the names of the early Roman saints, martyr saints. I usually use that prayer on special solemnities like today, the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, and then occasionally on a given Sunday. Well, there's one line in that first Eucharistic prayer, the Roman Canon, that I'd like to draw your attention to, and that line is this, and this will sound familiar, I'm sure. Be pleased to look, so it's the priest speaking to God the Father at the altar. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you are pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abraham, our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. Who is Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek? And what is he offering? Oh, Melchizedek, that's just another random weird name in the Bible. I suppose it doesn't really mean anything. If you're paying close attention, it just so happens that Melchizedek's name came up in our first reading today from Genesis chapter 14, as well as the responsorial psalm. Melchizedek's name really doesn't come up in the Bible very much at all. In fact, he's only mentioned three times. The first mention is in Genesis 14, our first reading today. The background of our first reading is that Abram, you know, whom we later come to know as Abraham, the first person that God calls, to whom he promises many descendants, among other things, comes to Melchizedek. Abram comes to Melchizedek after defeating three kings in battle who had captured Abram's nephew, Lot. And Abram takes the spoils from these kings whom he defeats and gives Melchizedek, it says, a tithe of everything that he had plundered. And Melchizedek, in turn, offers a sacrifice of bread and wine, a sacrifice of bread and wine in thanksgiving to God on Abram's behalf, and then blesses him. First of all, the meaning of names in the Old Testament, especially, is very important. The name Melchizedek means righteous king, or king of righteousness. Righteousness. And it says in Genesis that Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Salem, a name meaning peace, coming from the Hebrew word shalom. And it's believed that this city of Salem would later come to be known as Jerusalem, Israel's capital. It also says that Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High, meaning that he was priest of the highest of all the gods in the land of Canaan, promised land, whom the Israelites would come to see as God, as Yahweh. Then, the next time we come across the name Melchizedek, again is in the Psalms, Psalm 110, which was our responsorial psalm today. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 was probably a hymn sung for the coronation or the dedication of the kings of Israel. All these psalms kind of traditionally ascribed to King David as their sort of traditional author, they all had probably liturgical uses in the temple in Jerusalem. The kings of Israel and Judah were anointed and considered a priest as well because they received their power to rule from God. And they also offered sacrifice to God. And offering sacrifice to God, that's what a priest does. So the figure of Melchizedek in this psalm was being linked to King David and his descendants, the kings of Israel and Judah. Finally, the third and the final time that we hear Melchizedek mentioned in the Bible is the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews. It's chapter 7. Hebrews puts all this together and connects Melchizedek as a sort of a forerunner of Jesus. For Jesus himself, he is the righteous one. He is the King of Peace. Jerusalem is the place where Jesus would offer himself in sacrifice at the Last Supper and on the cross. Jesus would also offer himself to us in the form of bread and wine as Melchizedek had offered. But Jesus perfects that ancient offering by making it his own body and blood. Jesus is a priest forever, for he offers himself as a sacrifice for us eternally. He is both king and priest. Our second reading today, it comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Paul shares with the Christian community in Corinth the very words of Jesus that not only recall what Jesus did, but what also make him, those words that make him present among those gathered, that is, the words of an institution at the Mass, in the Eucharistic prayer. There are the words, these are the words that we hear in the Eucharistic prayer as the bread and wine are consecrated at the altar. St. Paul's letters, they were written historically before the Gospels. So this is the earliest text. Our second reading is the earliest text that we have that describes the Eucharist. Then in our Gospel from Luke, we hear the story of Jesus feeding or providing for the 5,000, all a symbol and foreshadowing of what Jesus was about to do in the Eucharist. So, we've all heard people say before, or at least some people would say that they don't go to Mass, because they don't feel that they get much out of it, or it doesn't really speak to them. Others, maybe that do go, might say that they do feel that they get something out of it. And of course, we know that oftentimes these are kind of veiled statements referring to the priest and how well he preaches, right? And while it might be true that many of our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters go to church services to pray or to worship and to hear maybe an inspiring sermon, that's not the primary purpose of the Mass. It's not. The Mass, as constituted or really defined by the whole of the Scriptures, the Bible, is primarily about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and his offering of himself to us in the form of bread and wine. It's the sacrifice of Melchizedek perfected. This whole idea of sacrifice in the Bible is rooted in the notion that this idea of sacrifice is rooted in the notion that we return to God. We give back to God some portion of creation, something that we have received from him. We give it back to him in thanksgiving. not because God needs our sacrifice, but because we need to be reminded that all things come from Him. And by doing so, we stay in right relationship with God. By giving back to Him in sacrifice, in thanksgiving, we stay in right relationship with Him. It's a just thing. It's a just thing to do, to give something of ourselves back to God. Because we're fallen, we're sinful, making a sacrifice and becoming right with God, it's kind of a hard thing to do. It causes us some pain, right? And so in the Old Testament, times, when animals were sacrificed in the temple, their blood that was poured out, it was like an outward sign of the inner pain of striving to be right with God again. The animal would bear the punishment of Israel's sins. Today, the church celebrates the solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord, Corpus Christi. It's a special day for us to call to mind exactly what is happening in the Mass and what Jesus, the Lord, does for us, that He offers Himself in sacrifice so that we might be put in right relationship with God. Christ's offering on the cross is represented at every Mass. We offer to God bread and wine, and in turn, He offers His own Son back to us. And so whenever we come to Mass, we are called to participate fully in this sacrifice. That is, by offering our whole lives. You know, we strive to do that consciously, you know, in prayer. By offering our whole lives, our joys, our sorrows, our sufferings, we, in prayer, offer those to God in union with Jesus on the cross, which is represented at the altar. It's not just about what we get from it. But if you fully know and you know understand the Bible, it's actually a matter of justice.